Welcome in to this Wednesday edition of Talk of Champions. I'm your host, Zach Berry. No Ben Garrett. He is out of town. But have no fear. We have a guest. We are going to get into a heavy recruiting episode, talk a little bit about quarterbacks, and probably, you know, something else is going on in the news right now. We'll probably get to that. But before we do that, you can see it on the screen there, College Corner. If you haven't already, get over there, collegecornerstore.com. They've got Omaha merch. If you're trying to get a head start on Father's Day, you can get a some merch over there. You got t-shirts, you got hats, all kinds of stuff as the field is set in Omaha. And Ole Miss is, I believe they're already there. I believe they practiced today. So collegecornerstore.com, good folks over there. We appreciate them as always. So without further ado, let's bring in the film guy, Brooks Austin. Brooks, good morning. We appreciate you time traveling for us over there in the Eastern time zone. How are we doing?
I'm doing good. I'm honestly a little upset Ben Garrett's not here because as someone who grew up in Atlanta in the aughts, Ludacris was a god around here. Mm-hmm. So any reference to, by the way, lyrically, the song Ho by Ludacris, I mean, they just don't do it like this no more.
No.
I talk about hoes to a housewife, hoes don't act right, hoes on the mission, it's hoes on the crack pipe. At one point, Ludacris talks about reaching up into the sky, not for the ozone layer, no, the hozone layer. My man Ludacris was absolutely in his bag during the early aughts. So I know Ben's probably on vacation somewhere, but as someone who admires just tremendously the lyricist that is Ludacris, thank you, Mr. Ben Garrett. Yeah. And I haven't had the opportunity to say that on any platform. And I know he's going to watch this, so I had to get that off my chest. What a lyricist that Ludacris was, man.
I mean, Chris Bridges, I mean, he can do it all. Fast and Furious, you know, he's a thespian. He's also a phenomenal hip-hop artist. Do yourself a favor. Just go watch the music video. I don't think anyone can actually make a music video like that anymore.
Dude, Red Light District, go watch that one when he's got the Hulk hands walking down the street. Oh, my God, dude. Ludacris was the man. I'm telling you, Ludacris was the man.
All right. So I guess it was about two weeks ago, you released your rankings for, I guess, the future quarterback rooms or the best quarterback rooms. You can define it since it's your rankings. You had Ole Miss number one. It's been kind of weird. I've seen a lot of, like, top player rankings, and look, I know we're filling the void right now. It's Wednesday, June 10th as we talk about this, so people got to talk about, you know, whatever. But Trinidad Chambliss obviously is where it starts, but for you, what's in the middle and what do you see on the other side as the future comes?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I don't know how many college football programs right now that we can even project 4 years out who their starter is going to be. Right. I expect Ole Miss to be one of these football teams. And I like what I think I could project over the next 4 years. Hell, I love what we're projecting this year. If you paid attention to any of my takes this offseason, I am one of these firm believers that Trinidad Chambliss is the best returning quarterback in college football. So much so that I think he and Kiwon Lacy are the best returning players at their individual positions. And I think they are so individually talented enough that I don't really care that Ole Miss is, not returning five of their top six returning receivers, right? I don't really care that the offensive brainstem has been ripped out and is in Baton Rouge. I think these two guys, Trinidad and Kiwon, are so individually great that I'm like penciling them in 9-3. Can they make a 10-2 playoff run again? That's where I'm mentally forecasting Ole Miss going into this season. Again, that's how good I think Trinidad is at the quarterback position. And then if for anybody, again, who's watched my work, you know what I thought about Deuce Knight coming out of high school. I thought he was an elite prospect, right? Like, I don't do the five stars ranking stuff, but, like, that's a blue chip quarterback prospect coming out of Mississippi high school football. I thought he was going to end up at Notre Dame. He ends up at Auburn, and I'm like, okay. And then the Auburn thing goes how it goes, right, with Hugh Freeze and whatnot. But the one start that we got against Mercer, you saw all of it. You saw all of the reasons why. Yeah, I know it's Mercer, but at least it's not high school tape. You know what I mean? Like, it's translating a little bit against mid-major competition, particularly the explosivity of the athlete that is Deuce Knight. The first play of the game, you watch 22-year-old Mercer football players who, by the way, were 9-0 in mid-major football last year and then got their doors blown off by Deuce Knight. It wasn't like they invited some slappy mid-major team out there. Yes, it was a mid-major team, but he makes like three or four players on the first play of that game just like, oh my God, what is this? They take horrible angles on him because they had no idea. They couldn't feel the explosiveness of this athlete until the first play of the game. And then they had to kind of settle in and start taking drastic angles to run this guy down. He is very, very elite talent-wise from an athleticism standpoint and the life of the football and the efficiency of the motion and the mechanics. I'm a proponent of. So I'm a big Deuce Knight guy. So I'm a big Trinidad guy. I'm going to be a big Deuce Knight guy for 2 years. And then you saw my rankings at the Elite 11, and you and I talked out there at the Elite 11, Zach, about my thoughts on Keegan Croucher. Like, I have a hard time not thinking Keegan Croucher, if it goes right, is it going to be Justin Herbert? I love Justin Herbert at Oregon. I really like Justin Herbert with the Chargers, but I loved Justin Herbert at Oregon. And for those of you who don't know, Justin Herbert was playing at a time in Oregon where Justin was really the only blue chipper out there running around, and he was making superhero plays left and right at 6'5", 230 pounds, running 4.68. Like, I think Croucher is that. If we can learn some refinement of the skill set, and Lord knows we got time to do that.
Yeah, and now I think Deuce Knight is in a category all on his own. He can say that he has scored a touchdown on the same field as Lionel Messi has scored a goal. Which is pretty wild to say, but you know, this is the matrix we're in. It's insane. But yeah, Trinidad, you know, I think people forget that he has not even been in Oxford for a full year because he arrived so late. I guess it's been a year now because he got to Oxford around May of last year. You know, we know Austin Simmons goes down, he comes in, mop up duty against Kentucky, they hold on, then he gets, you know, basically Wally Pipps, you know, Austin Simmons. You know, for you, I guess watching him, I know you've watched a ton of tape. We saw what he did last year. He almost took Ole Miss to the national championship. But is there anything you're looking for him to improve upon, or maybe, you know, little tweaks here and there?
Yeah, like the only flaw in Trinidad's game last year with the offense and the way that it was ran. And look, I said I don't really care that the brainstem got ripped out because Joe Judge is still there. And I'm a big believer in John David Baker. I think he's a great young football coach. All that being said, like, there is a level of Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr. giving you the answers because of pre-snap communications and helmet comms nowadays. Like, there's no doubt Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr. are very, very elite at letting the quarterback know where to go with the football via helmet comms. Used to, like, if you listen to College Game Day last year when Ole Miss came to Georgia and Nick Saban and Kirby Smart are sitting there talking about defending Lane, they talked about the whistle and how Lane used to whistle all the time. And that was the other defensive coordinator's, like, a notice of, you're about to get screwed because he knows what you're playing. He just whistled in. He's got a new play call for the quarterback, and you're about to get shredded. Well, nowadays he ain't got a whistle. Nowadays he just got to pull his headset down. That being removed is my one lone concern. However, if you really pay close attention last year, if you're like really grinding tape like I do, yeah, Lane Kiffin used to stand at the sticks and do the same stuff, but Joe Judge was standing right next to him. So I would imagine, and by the way, like, for those who don't know, if you're a college football guy and not an Ole Miss guy, which I know I'm speaking to Ole Miss people right now, Joe Judge is a former NFL head football coach. Like, I don't think people know that, like, Joe Judge is a great football coach. He's a high-end guy, like, was on a Belichick staff, okay? Like, this dude's he could go get an offensive coordinator job or maybe even a head coaching job in college football at any point in time that he wants. But he wants the offense title. Like, I know it's important that John David Baker's the OC, but the Joe Judge retention was huge, in my opinion, for Pete Golden, because I don't think we have to change everything. I think there's going to be a similar language being spoke between Joe Judge and Trinidad as there was last year between Trinidad and Joe, or Trinidad and Charlie and Lane. Now, you asked for areas of improvement. There's one glaring area, of improvement as an individual athlete that he needs to get better at. And I don't know if we ever solve it. And it's red zone passing. Like, we get way too many balls tipped down there when the box gets tight and the back line becomes as the 11th or the 12th defender, and we can really crowd things. Like, we had a lot of balls tipped last year, and I think they noticed this way early on. If you're an Ole Miss fan watching last year and go, why in the hell are we running Austin Simmons into the formation, into the red zone area? Well, that's why. They knew these balls were getting tipped, right? It was hard to get him in to throw balls into those windows, and I don't know how we alleviate that other than roll him out, run him, design run him, like things that defenses know. Those are going to be tendencies. Those are not going to be answers. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, one thing I always noticed, and I would mention to people, whether it was on the show, on the message board, or just talking to people, you would notice whether it was Austin Simmons or Trinidad, when there was a timeout, they'd come to the sideline. They're coming to talk to Joe Judge. It was never Lane Kiffin. Kiffin was always kind of off doing his own thing. I mean, at this point, everybody knows him. Just odd guy. He's out there. But yeah,
there was a massive moment, Zach. I don't mean to cut you off, but it's a
no. We lost Brooks there for a second. He'll get back. Just kind of to finish that point. Joe Judge was instrumental in the offense. Obviously people know that. During timeouts.
It's a moment.
Oh, coming back.
We're back.
Okay, we're back. Go ahead.
No, what I was saying was there was a moment that stuck out to me like a sore thumb last year watching film in preparation for the Sugar Bowl. They run a quarterback design keep around the left edge, and it scores, and it's a massive play on a short yarded situation. I think it's 4th-and-1. And Lane Kiffin, you can see him in the back end zone cut of the film. Lane Kiffin's running down into the end zone with his hands up, throwing the clipboard. He's partying. He's celebrating all stuff. And then immediately you see Joe Judge turn around to the sideline and hold up the number one, meaning like we're about to kick a PAT. Mm-hmm. The guy that nobody talked about was actually kind of running the operation, if you will, the professionalism of the opera. And look, I'm not demeaning Lane. I think Lane's one of the best offensive minds we've ever had in football history, just like his daddy was one of the best defensive minds we've ever had in football history. I'm not demeaning that. But from a CEO, like I think a lot of people helped run that organization last year is what I'm getting at. And if you really paid attention to it, even as an outsider, even as a guy watching silent copy film, there was a lot of other hands touching that stuff too. There was a lot of other stuff controlling the emotions, if you will. And I think we saw a lot of that, obviously, down the stretch. I mean, yeah. You guys beat Kirby Smart in a first-time, like, SEC head coaching opportunity. That's insane.
Yeah. Like I was saying, he's a huge part. And I mean, he was a huge – I think he's the reason why Trinidad stayed. I think he was thinking about NFL. I don't truly think he was going to follow Lane, but he had some doubts. And then once Joe Judge said he was not going anywhere, it was an easy fix for him. But let's get into John David Baker. You got the shirt on, brief sabbatical, if you will, over to ECU to run his own thing. He comes back. He was at Ole Miss before. Trinidad's talked about it. Keywan's talked about it. Other offensive players have mentioned how it's kind of pretty much the same. I think they're going to go a little faster, but for you watching him with the Pirates and now he gets to have a lot of brand new fancy toys at Ole Miss, what do you see from him this fall?
Well, I like the idea that first and foremost, he's a Lane disciple. He is an Ole Miss disciple. He was obviously here as a tight ends coach in Oxford for a while. He understands what they do. He understands what it means to run this system, the language of it, the terminology of it, why we do what we do, right? The whole schematical makeup of the offense, he understands. But what I really like about John is the idea that he obviously ripped himself from this, went to ECU for a year, and if you paid attention as for what he did as a play caller, right, at ECU, they weren't a Lane Kiffin fun and gun type of system. They were wide choice based, in my opinion, last year at ECU. They did a lot of what, like, Golish is known for, what Heupel is known for. And reason why, it's not because I don't think that's what John wants to do. I think it's he knew that's what Caden Hauser needed to do, the quarterback at ECU, who, by the way, was top five in yards thrown last year in college football and is now making north of $2.5 million at Illinois. So I like that. I like the idea that he comes from a prolific offensive system, and his first time having an opportunity to be an offensive coordinator, he didn't just to revert to what he knew. He reverted to what was going to be best to accentuate the skill sets of the athlete. That's what coaching is, right? I'm a guy who studies more film than anybody. That's my adage. That's what I aim to do. And over the years watching this, it's not like, hey, who is the most innovative guy? Who's got the best system? I'm not a systems guy. I'm a coach's guy. If you can take players and say, all right, this is my new ingredient pool this year. This is the dish that I'm going to put out, and it's going to be a five-star dish. Next year, the five-star dish might taste a total different brand of ethnic food because we got a total different skill set. That's what it is. That's why, like, I think Lincoln Riley goes through dry spells. You know why? Because Lincoln's a we going to do what we do guy. That doesn't work. The ingredients change every single year. So just like over the next 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, however long it is going to be at Ole Miss, the ingredients are going to change. From we got a 5'11", twitched up, elite runner of the football. Holy cow, look at all these flash throws and quick throws this guy makes. Trinidad Chambliss, to a lefty version of that and a longer, lankier version of that, to a guy in Keegan Crouchard a couple years who looks nothing like those first two guys I'm talking about. So we better have a coach that can do all these things. And John David Baker has already showed a history, very brief, of being able to do that. I like that. That's good coaching again. So, yeah, I like that we went from Ole Miss doing Ole Miss fun and gun to we're going to wide choice it because that's what Caden needs to do. We need to put the ball in his hands and let him make decisions 45 times over and play at a high rate of speed. To now we're going back to Ole Miss and we're going to settle back into doing what I'm comfortable doing again.
Hello, friends. If you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know I'm pretty simple when it comes to clothes. Whether I'm headed to the stadium in Oxford, running around New Albany, or just trying to get through another long day, I don't need a closet full of stuff. I just want clothes that fit, hold up, and don't make me think twice. That's why I've become a fan of Quince. My Quince organic cotton t-shirt has become one of those things I reach for all the time. It's comfortable, it fits the way I like, and after plenty of washes, it still looks new. Honestly, that's what surprised me the most about Quince. You expect that kind of quality from designer brands, but Quince delivers it without the designer price tag. Whether it's premium denim, tailored chinos starting at just $60, or even bedding, cookware, and travel gear, Quince has become one of my go-to brands because I know what I'm getting every time. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're getting premium materials for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Upgrade your everyday. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers or go to quince.com/TOC. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too. That's Quince, Quince.com/TOC.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. It's an excellent segue there with the kind of juxtaposition of the super athlete with Chambliss and Deuce Knight. And not that Keegan Croucher is not an athlete. I mean, he was a three-sport guy at one point before he decided to focus on football.
He's 6'6", 225 pounds. He looks totally different.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, Keegan would admit it. He can't run like Trinidad. He's not going to be – you know, probably as explosive as Deuce with how he just kind of glides around the field. But guy can make all the throws. I thought he gathered himself on day two out in L.A. And closed strong. But for you, after seeing him live and watching a little bit of film, what do you kind of see his strength being at the college level where, you know, Deuce and Trinidad have the athleticism and the twitchy running threat? Where do you see Croucher kind of taking that next step in college?
You know, it's funny, Zach. Like most of these guys that I watch, if I get overexposed to them, 9 times out of 10, I end up liking them less the more and more I watch them because I get more opportunities in person to find things that I don't like. I felt like Croucher was the opposite of that. I saw him in the Atlanta regional and I didn't love it. I saw all that was there, right? You see the height, the weight, the speed, the frame, the ability to throw every ball in the world. But like, there was no touch. There was no coof. There was no layering of the football. There's no touch. Touch is important as a quarterback. We have to be able to throw it up and over people all the time. We can't just rip it right through face mask all the time. And like, I'm a ball flight guy. Like if the ball, and we talked about this out in LA, if the ball wobbles on you and you're a firm velocity thrower, you might as well be hurling a brick like through the air. And that's sometimes what it feels like with Keegan. However, the more and more I watched him and the more and more I saw him, the more and more I want to buy it. The more and more I want to buy the stock, right? Because we're buying ceilings oftentimes when we do this, especially with a kid like Keegan in a situation like Ole Miss where we might get to sit for, you know, 18 to 24 months before the world's weight is on our shoulders, right? So we got time to develop. We got time to figure out this stuff and learn to play with some touch, learn to play with some finesse. Because right now, we're a thoroughbred, man. Like, we're an unbroken Mustang, and we're just out there bucking people off every 5 minutes. So I do want to buy the fact that we're going to find some of this refinement and some of this touch and some of this finesse. And by the way, I would rather have to teach you how to back out of the gas than wonder if you ever even have it. You know what I mean? Like, do you have the velocity? Do you have the juice to do this?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm ever going to have to question that with Keegan. And by the way, I think this, and it's why Justin Herbert to me is such a apropos comp. Like, Justin had refinement that needed to be had when he got to the league too. Mm-hmm. It was just this Mustang. It was this 6'6", 230 long linear guy that was a good athlete, but not a great athlete. And you just look at him and you're like, man, look at all this stuff that he can do. I feel the same way about Keegan. And the more and more, like when I first got into this industry, Zach, I was always I bought floors. I'm buying floors because I just want to make sure I'm right. I want to make sure I got good football players. And the more and more I do this, we can't just buy floors. We got to buy ceilings too. Because I will get fired if I pass up on the guy that just might be generational.
Right.
And this dude definitely has the talents to be generational. Will he find that? I don't know. That's Joe Judge's job.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how he looks this fall. He, you know, obviously transfers over to the Baylor school. Eric Kimry does a great job there. That whole program is built to develop generational people. I mean, this is not a podcast where we're going to talk about David Gabriel George, but I mean, just an absolute alien. But yeah, Kimry knows.
Keegan better get ready to do this right here.
Yeah,
here you go.
He talked to me. I asked him, you know, how does he think his game will be changed and developed? And he was like, look, with zero back there, yeah, people are going to be crowding the box a lot. It's going to help. But, yeah, I mean, they added a guy in Cornbread Adams, Mississippi guy that transferred over. So he's got a legit 6'2 receiver now. They got a really good tight end. And then, obviously, DGG. I think the – like you said, the ceiling is absolutely there for him. And, yeah, I like what you said about, you know, you'd rather have to tell somebody to, you know, hey, let's back off a touch. You know, you can't really, I don't know if you can really teach, you know, what he's got with some of that velo. But I guess last thing on Croucher, you know, I thought he was good enough to make the Elite 11. He didn't make the opening, didn't make the final 11, but you know, just for you in that whole event, and because I was having to explain it to people, you and I talked about this on how people grade very differently out there. It's completely different, but you know, seeing him in the pro day and then the accuracy stuff, you know, what kind of I guess player do you think he could be this season at Baylor in terms of, you know, because people ask, like, could he be a five-star? I don't know. I'm not in charge of that. But for him to take that next step as a senior at Baylor, you know, is it consistency with layering, is it downfield? What do you think?
So, Zach, can I be honest?
Yeah.
Nowadays, the last thing you want for a committed football player is for him to get any type of ratings bump. That's the last thing you want as a fan. You know why? And like your recruiting department at Ole Miss may not care about rankings and ratings and stars and all this stuff. They may not be one of these staff that feels like they have to manipulate the market to make it seem like they got a top class. They might not be one of these. And I would imagine they're not nowadays. And here's why. Coaches don't care about ratings. They don't give a damn what I have to say about athletes. They don't care what Charles Powers has to say. They don't care what Andrew Ivins has to say. And guess what? All three of us know ball. I'm going to tell you that right now. But they don't care. They should, though, nowadays, and here's why. You know who does care? Agents. Agents walk into these coaches' offices and say, hey, my guy's top 32 in the country. He's a five-star. You better pay his ass like a five-star right now. So the last thing you want, guys, the last thing you want is a committed football player getting a bump. To hell with that. Who cares? You're like, bro, Georgia, and I hate to tie back to Georgia, but Georgia started 2 3-stars last year and probably got them from in-state schools for nothing. And they were 2 SEC starters. Mm-hmm. They stole 2 SEC starters. And had them SOBs been 4 stars, they ain't stealing them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to have to pay for them. So, no. Don't be asking that. Don't be wanting that. Don't be teasing that. Don't be atting people. Why am I got not a five? You don't want that. That's the last thing you want nowadays.
Yeah, that's a great point. And yeah, I can guarantee you, I haven't asked him, but Pete Golding doesn't care.
He does care about his budget. He does care about his budget. And if a ratings bump has some other, like some kid coming in saying, hey, I need another extra $100,000. I just moved up 65 spots. It might not be the kid, but the agent's going to have the gall to do that. The agents are doing that right now. And I don't even want that discussion as a coach. I don't even want to have that brought up. Nope. We signed you and got you committed under that. I don't care what On3 just bumped you for. You know what I mean? I ain't bumping you.
Yeah. Last thing here, and again, appreciate the time as always. Been a lot of discourse out there about a lot of courtrooms, a lot of injunctions. One thing that, take it back a little bit further, not the most recent stuff going on, the Nick Saban stuff with the tampering. Yeah. I don't know why we're still doing this. Everybody tampers. And look, I applaud Pete Golding for what he did, where he said basically like, look, I got receipts. So if y'all want to do this, we can do it. And I think that's kind of why Dabo and them have kind of chilled out on it, but you know, I'll give you the floor on what with tampering and the Sorsby stuff. I mean, I think that's just completely insane that the NCAA is just going to let him skirt by, but for you, I mean, just looking at it big picture with college football, how do you think all of this is going to affect not only this season, but just down the line with this precedent that's being set?
Yeah, Zach, my question about this whole thing and my whole entire sentiment has been like, where is the line? Where do we draw the line in self-governance in athletics now, in college athletics? Because used to, like, we all knew that the NCAA didn't really have much power, but they were the governing body that we should at least pretend to respect, right? We should at least pretend to respect. And I think there's also been this unwritten rule in college football, particularly, where everybody cheats, everybody tampers, everybody's driving 85 in the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. And if you don't drive 85 on the interstate in the 55, you will cause a rear-end accident, or you will get blown by, or whatever euphemism you want to get used. If you don't cheat, if you don't drive fast enough, everyone's going to blow by you. You're going to cause an accident. Though, you couldn't just drive 155 in the 55 with the windows down, flipping off the cops as you drive by. That's kind of what just happened with Texas Tech. That's what it feels like. And that's why all the pearl clutching is going on. So, you mentioned, like, the NCAA stood by the wayside. No, they didn't. The NCAA got their ass beat in Lubbock County Court, which the NCAA continues to get their butt whipped in these, temporary injunctions, these temporary restraining orders. Yes, the NCAA got their butt whipped in the Trinidad Chambliss lawsuit, which, from my understanding, I think all these are independent cases. They should be looked at that way. Like, Trinidad is well within his 5 to play 5. That was the weird thing to me. Like, he would pass the lawsuit that Nick Saban was there to lobby on behalf of. So he was the wrong example to use. I didn't feel like – now, I do think we've gotten crazy with 7, 8, sometimes 9-year eligibilities getting thrown into TROs and winning because local county court systems. But nobody was willing to draw the line on that. The line was drawn on gambling on the team. When you start gambling on the sport, that's where the line is drawn with eligibility. And I think the only way we can do this is by athletic directors and presidents and coaches saying, we are not going to play them. If they want to go that far with this TRO stuff, then we will not play. We will not play y'all. That's how we're going to self-govern because we know the NCAA can't. And again, I don't think it's the NCAA's fault. I think it's it is in the sense that they have no power, but they didn't create that. School presidents and university presidents created that. It's a shill. It's always been a shill. But I think the main problem in our sport now is that coaches pulled the mask off of it, laughed at it, and said, now we all know. So now let's just not govern ourselves at all. Let's have no type of restraint in and of our own right. Let's go to every measure we humanly possibly can to try to win. And this is the craziest part about the Texas Tech thing to me, and I said this on my show last night. Brendan Sorsby is nowhere near good enough to do all this for. Nowhere near good enough. Brendan Sorsby has never thrown for 3,000 yards in a season. Brendan Sorsby is 14-21 as a starter in his career. Brendan Sorsby was held under 200 yards passing last year in a quarter of his starts. I wouldn't do this shit for Cam Newton. I damn sure wouldn't do it for Brendan Sorsby. That's the craziest thing about this all to me, is we're willing to go this far at Texas Tech. Cody Campbell, Joey McGuire, the whole board, all of them are willing to go this far for Brendan Sorsby.
Yeah.
That's the wildest thing to me.
Yeah, I know Cody Campbell's like cosplaying as Landman or, you know, Dutton Ranch or something with all the money. And I laughed at your tweet, but then I was like, he's right, where it just seems like he's just a guy that's like, well, I just have a shit ton of money. I'm just going to do what I want. That's kind of, if we want to tie it back to, put a bow on it with Lane Kiffin. I mean, people keep hyping up Sam Levitt. And look, not only 2 surgeries on the list, Frank, but he threw for 80 yards against Mississippi State. I can't get that out of my head.
I'm not a Sam Levitt believer. In fact, I think recently I ranked him 4th in my transfer quarterback rankings, portal rankings. That being said, it's going to work at LSU. If he's healthy, Lane's going to make him a good quarterback. Now, he's going to get an NFL GM fired. Sam Levitt is. Like, it's not going to work on Sundays. Yeah. But, guys, it's. I'm telling you, y'all went through growing pains when he had to do all the whistling, where, like, year one, Matt Corral throws 12 interceptions, and then year two, he throws 4. Year one, Jackson Dart throws a plethora of interceptions, and then the next year, he throws a couple of bad ones, but not a lot. And then year one with Trinidad, it's like, oh, my God, this is working. Reason being, he was in his ear. He was in his ear the whole time. Like, it's going to work to an extent with Levitt, to probably a high extent. So just know that. But it doesn't alleviate all the problems that come with Lane that you guys don't have to deal with anymore. There's going to be a random clunker. There's going to be a random day where they don't show up down there at LSU. And there's going to be all the drama on top of it. So there's no demeaning the offensive output, though. And I want to say that, even though I'm on an Ole Miss pod, like, the dude can coach offense. It's all the other stuff that we don't like.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's what I always say. Like, the multiple things can be true. I mean, he can be a genius, and then he can also just, by God, he gets in his own way every now and then. Brooks, again, appreciate the time. You can see the Twitter handle right there on the screen if you're not watching on YouTube. Brooks Austin, BA on Twitter. Check him out. The Film Guy Network on YouTube. The library is chock full of just really good shit. I mean, pardon my French. It's good stuff. If you like getting into the minutiae and watching film, Brooks is your guy. As always, appreciate it, buddy. Hey, get down to Oxford this year for a game, and you and Ben can talk about Luda all you want.
Oh, I mean, worst case scenario, I'll probably be out there when Georgia comes out there. But maybe our platform is large enough where I can call Ole Miss's SID and say, hey, let me get one for that LSU game. But then again, I don't even know if I want to. It's like I said last night, and I think Ole Miss fans will respect me saying this, and they'll enjoy this. I mean, it's what, 62,000 at that stadium out there?
It's like 68,000.
Okay, 68,000. The most hostile environment I've ever been into. Okay, not the loudest, but that place feels like it's finna come down on top of you at all times. Like those people feel like they're gonna come get you, and that's a total different feeling than ooh, it's loud. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And I can't imagine the place probably gonna feel like it's gonna burn down when LSU comes out there. You know what I mean? So, oof, to me, and I don't know how players feel, but to me, the most hostile place to go to because of the fan base. You guys, you guys are passionate.
and look, Ole Miss has been good at home the last couple of years. That helps too when you win. September 19th is, as the kids say, it's going to be a movie. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, Brooks Austin, again, appreciate you. Appreciate College Corner, everybody else. Makes the show possible. We'll probably have another one probably next week when Ben's back. We got plenty of recruiting on the site, plenty of college baseball portal as Mike Bianco and company are double dipping in Omaha and trying to recruit the calendar. I don't want to get into that. It's ridiculous. But Brooks, as always, appreciate you, buddy. And Talk of Champions, we'll be back soon. Appreciate everybody in the chat. And as always, y'all be good. Avoid the bookings, stay out of trouble, and we'll holler at y'all later.